Good morning and welcome to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. We're at Conti Law. We are your legal concierge. What's that mean? We focus on estate planning, estate administration, special needs planning, tax planning, guardianship, all of those things. But if we don't handle what you need, our job is to refer you to whomever we personally would use. So thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm going to start out. I've been getting comments that I haven't given our telephone number often enough. So I'm going to start out with that this morning, 724-784-0239. We're located in Moon Township. However, we do offer in-home and office consultations. So give us a call or reach us on our website, which is www.contilawpgh.com. I'll spell that contilawpgh.com. If you've tuned in recently, you know that I've been discussing the biggest mistakes of proper estate planning. And I could go on and on and on for hours. So last show, I only really got through one of those mistakes. And I want to continue that this show and probably next. I want to start by saying, and I've said this for years, the biggest enemy of proper estate planning is actually procrastination. What do I mean by that? Well, we all know at some point, we don't know when, we may become ill, but we all know we're going to pass away at some point. By not doing something, by not putting a plan in place, you're making a choice. And most of the time, people say, I've thought about this for years. Well, think of it in terms of your health. How many of us don't like going to the dentist, don't like going to the doctor? But we do. We should. Just as a checkup. Well, we know that ultimately we will be gone from this earth. By not putting something in place, you're doing a disservice to those you leave behind. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'm in the business of helping your loved ones settle your affairs once you pass away, right? I can't tell you how many times a spouse, a child, a sibling, a friend has come into my office. Not only are they grieving because their loved one has passed away, but they're also saying, why would they leave me with this mess? They're angry. What if there's no plan and the people you leave behind don't get along? Well, that can cause for a bad holiday. That can cause for some arguments. That can cause for fist fights, for the police to be called. Not that I want to see that happen, but believe me, I could tell you stories of what happens. My job here and why I even have this show is to really impart, and it's not great wisdom, it's common sense. It really makes sense to have something in writing. It doesn't matter what it is, whatever your wishes are, but to have it in writing and make sure those people you want to get it actually do get it. Those people you want to be in charge are in charge. So I'll tell you, it's a terrible story. I have lots of them. I have cases right now. I have two different cases. One, mom and dad passed away within a year of one another. There's a handful of kids from their marriage who are split down the middle. They do not get along. One kid is settling dad's estate. One kid's settling mom's estate. Guess what? They really loathe one another. I'm not quick to use the word hate. This is one of those examples. I have no idea what happened, what transpired between the two of them. These siblings do not get along. They've each retained attorneys of their own. and we are in court battling. We haven't even got to mom's estate yet. We're dealing with dad's estate. Because the sibling handling mom's estate said that the sibling who's handling dad's estate did it wrong, didn't do it in a timely manner, took too much as a fee, paid too much for the first attorney she hired. Now we're involved to try to unravel this mess. Only if a plan had been put in place to begin with, all of this would have been avoided. It's realistic to say siblings may not always get along. I grant you that. Why add fuel to the fire? This family has been fractured for years. Now that the parents passed away, I don't know if their relationship will ever be healed. That's not even the point. The point is, now the whole family's being dragged. Those who are left behind are being dragged through this legal process and nightmare, and they do not have time to grieve mom or dad's passing. All they have in their mouth is a bad taste of what has to happen, how much money has been spent on the attorneys, on the court costs, on the experts coming in, trying to deal with the property, which is a whole nother mess we'll get into. When you have various owners of property and you have various beneficiaries of property, I can almost guarantee that they will not be on the same page when it comes to, do we keep, do we rent, do we sell? What do we do? What realtor do we use? Do we agree on this realtor? Do we agree on this assessed or appraised price for the real estate? It can become a nightmare. Now, I know that I'm just shouting out these stories to you about what could go wrong. And let me tell you, it often does go wrong. My job is to make sure none of this happens, to make sure it all goes right. Keep the harmony. Keep, even if the siblings don't get along, why make it worse? I tell people throughout the year, it doesn't matter the time of year, make your New Year's resolution for this not to happen. Thank God you wake up and you're breathing today. Let's put the plan in place so that if that day comes where you're not, none of this battle, none of this puzzle needs to be unraveled, needs to be put together. It's already done for them. Make that the gift you leave them with. If you're just tuning in, thank you. You're listening to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. Our offices are located in Moon Township. You can reach us at 724-784-0239. 724-784-0239. Or you can reach out to us online at www.contilawpgh.com. And I'll repeat our contact information throughout the show. We offer complimentary consultations as well as a review of your current estate plan. So one of the items people most often forget, don't realize, is the importance of beneficiary designations. What does that mean? So on a retirement account, an annuity, life insurance policy, you can add a primary beneficiary. You can also add contingent beneficiaries. Besides telling everybody you should have powers of attorney in place, this is the second most often repeated comment that I make. Take advantage of proper beneficiary designations. Take advantage of those accounts not having to go through probate when you die or your will. People get confused and say, well, if I leave everything to my son in my will, doesn't he automatically get these accounts? And the answer is no, he doesn't. Those accounts that you're able to place a beneficiary designation on, do it. It's filling out a piece of paper. Who gets the stuff when you die? Is it your spouse? Are you leaving it equally to your kids? Are you leaving it to your grandkids, your nieces and nephews? Maybe you have a whole list of who gets what and what percentage. Take advantage of it. You can do that for free with the company. However, I can't stress enough how unwise it is to say, well, I left everything equally to my kids in my will. They'll just get it. These things when I die as well. Not necessarily the case. Keep in mind, these don't have to go through probate when you die. But if you don't place a beneficiary on them, they will go through probate. What does that mean? Well, it just adds the time, the length of time where they'll get those assets. It adds these assets to the pool. The creditors will have the right to claim when you pass. It will increase the cost that probate will cost between court costs, filing fees, attorney's fees, all of those things. So this is just a quick and easy way to keep those outside of your estate. Probate's expensive. I'm never one to tell you it's not. It's expensive. So keep these assets outside of that probate process. Make sure that you update your beneficiary forms with the company that that asset is held with. Your will does not override the beneficiary designation on your retirement account. And if you remember, I gave you the story about Pam, whose husband predeceased her. She was a widow, no children. She wanted everything to go to mom, but she did not update these beneficiary forms. And so her money went to people she didn't necessarily want it to go to. So keep that in mind. Another common mistake I see all the time is when somebody gets divorced, update those forms so that if you pass away, your soon-to-be ex-spouse doesn't inherit from you. Why do we get divorced? Obviously, something had to go wrong. I'm making the assumption. Now, every situation's different, but I'm making the assumption that if you got divorced, you don't necessarily want your ex-spouse to inherit your IRA, to inherit your life insurance, to inherit your investments. Possibly you want your children or your new spouse or your parents or your siblings or your nieces and nephews. Make sure you take the time to accurately update those forms. The other thing, I have a client who came in the other day and he and his wife came in and he said, my estate plan is complicated. Nothing to belittle his thought on how complicated it was. It is for a normal person. But when you get down to the brass tacks and you go item by item, line by line, so long as we put into place what the overall goals and wishes are, who gets that stuff? It's not as complicated as you think. That's what we're here for. We're here to make this process easy for you and even easier for those you leave behind. So I asked the couple, when you pass, who do you want to get your stuff? And they both said, our kids. Well, then that's as easy as it has to be. We can do that. It's just organizing, putting everything in place, dotting those I's, crossing those T's. It becomes more confusing for my clients. Do you have a special needs loved one you're leaving something to? Life happens. Are you leaving something to a child and they get divorced? Are you leaving something to a child and ultimately their own children should your child predecease you? I recently had a case. There was a trust involved. Not only was that trust not funded, which is another big error I see with my clients who have trusts, Question I ask is, did the attorney assist you in funding your assets? Did you fund the assets? Do you have any idea what funding the assets actually means? I had a gentleman come in. He's a widow. He has 3 children. He has a trust. The trust was well written. Unfortunately, that attorney who drafted it passed away. And I asked him, what's in your trust? And he said, I have no idea. He has multiple properties. He's a farmer. Although he's retired, but he still has the land. Hundreds of acres. None of which is in the trust's name. So what was the point of the trust to begin with? In his case, because he has so much land and multiple properties, on paper, the investments aren't high, but the land is valuable. And I said to him, who's going to get those parcels of property when you pass between the 3 kids? And he said, well, that's a really good question because I'm leaving all of my accounts to these 2. I want the property to go to this one. Well, that's not what his trust says. That's not what the will says. That's not what the deed says. So without making sure that your wishes are actually correctly drawn up, that could be a huge problem when he dies. Now, fortunately, he had the common sense to call us. We scheduled the appointment and asked the question. That's really what it comes down to. What do you want to happen when you pass? That's our job, to make that a reality. That dovetails into the third biggest mistake of proper estate planning, is having an outdated plan. I cannot tell you how many times somebody will come in, even with a power of attorney, that's wrong, that's from 20 years ago. Granted, the law has changed since then. And you should assume that the law has changed. We're not that far behind. The most recent law change was in 2015. And I will tell you, if your document is not up to date, your loved ones can have significant legal issues with the banking institution that has to read that power of attorney, with the hospital that has to honor that power of attorney. I got a call last night, not from a client, from a colleague of mine who I worked with years ago. And it's his own personal family issue. He said, my uncle's dying. He's on life support at the hospital. My uncle doesn't have a spouse. My uncle doesn't have any children. He has 3 sisters. Two of which want to let him pass away with dignity and grace and go on his own terms. One sister does not. And there's some callous reasoning behind why she doesn't want to let him go. It comes down to, they live together. She'll lose her housing because it's income based and nobody knew she was living there. So when he dies, she will cease to have a residence of her own. We see the ugly side of people when money and death are involved. I say that quite a bit. Now, this is a friend of mine. And I said to him, you're really stuck because your uncle doesn't have a power of attorney to dictate what he wants to happen when he passes. Now, the same can hold true if he did have a spouse and kids. Maybe they don't agree. Don't just assume that because you're married or because you have children, your spouse or your kids have the legal authority to make a decision for you. They don't. I'll be the first to tell you that. Personally, I went to the hospital a couple months ago. I thought my appendix burst. It didn't, thank goodness. But I went to the hospital, went to the emergency room. I called my doctor. She said, go. I went. Now, I was leaving a client appointment, not thinking maybe I should grab my own power of attorney. I didn't. I went to the hospital. They admit me. I can honestly tell you, within 1 hour of me being admitted, just in the ER, not in the actual hospital, I was asked on 3 separate occasions, do you have a power of attorney? Do you have a living will? Now, fortunately, I wasn't dying. And I said to them, I do. It's not with me. I can have my office fax you a copy, but I know my husband's on his way to meet me here. So while Jason was driving to get to me, the nurse, the assistant, the aide, the doctor, whomever it was, came in and said, do you have a power of attorney? And three times I verbally consented to them to releasing my information to Jason. Now, I tell all of my clients, and it's become a joke at this point when I say, take it for what it's worth. That doctor may or may not release your information to your spouse. It'll be even more difficult for them to release that information to your children, let alone a sibling. If you're over the age of 18, you are your own legal adult. You make your decision. If you're incapacitated, that power of attorney will dictate who makes that decision for you. In this case, I didn't have mine. In my friend's case, his uncle doesn't have one. Even though I verbally consented to them releasing that information to my spouse, they were very concerned to do that, and I'll tell you why. So I was getting irritated. I'll be the first to admit, if I gave you verbal consent three times, I expect you to write it down and then you'd honor what I said because I was cognizant. I did have capacity. The doctor came in and it just so happened that doctor's a client of mine. And I said to him very forthright, what the heck is going on? I've now told you three times. I'll tell you a fourth time. Not only can I have it faxed here, but I'm telling you, you can talk to Jason. And he said, I understand your irritation, I understand your frustration, but one of the doctors was recently sued for a violation of HIPAA because the spouse doesn't remember consenting. Now, she must have been on some medication. I was not. Didn't remember consenting to the person, the spouse or child. I don't know in this instance who it was, to get that information. And so they were very, very cognizant and strict about going through this protocol of asking multiple times. So take that for what it's worth. But life happens. If you have an outdated plan or you don't have a plan at all, these are the issues you may face. Now, my friend, in his situation with his uncle, it's very sad because this literally just happened last night. And I said to him, unfortunately, now he practices in criminal law. So he said, can I just go tomorrow in front of the judge and have an injunction and blah, 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 all the fancy legal terms? And unfortunately, no, you can't. Without that power of attorney in place, yes, you are going to have to go to a judge. Yes, it's going to have to be an emergency. And yes, that judge is ultimately going to make that decision of either what happens to his uncle. Do we let him die with dignity? Do we keep him on the machines? Or he or she will appoint somebody to make that ultimate decision. So it's never easy. And of course, I come here with the terrible stories, the sad stories, but it's realistic of what can go wrong. And I see it on a day-to-day basis. Next week, we're going to talk about a client that I have right now. And I know that I've made mention of this before, but they thought they had a plan in place. And I'm not blaming the attorney, but the attorney who drafted it dropped the ball. And now, a decade later, the issues that are arising and that we're in court for, it's very sad indeed. So our job is to make sure that your wishes are seen to, that we know what pitfalls may lie ahead. Now, obviously, it's up to you to make that final decision. You make that choice. Do you want everything in place for your loved ones? Do you want to make it as easy as possible? I always say this, and I even say this to my own parents. Tell me what you want to happen. I will make sure every wish that you have is seen to, every goal. I will allow you to pass away from this world with dignity, with grace, with respect. Nobody in my family will fight when my parents die. And I'll tell you why. It's not because we're very good friends, but it's not because we're the best of friends and we're above that. It's because my parents have everything down to a T as to what they want to happen. We are all on the same page. Talking about this, I know for families can be very difficult. But having that conversation is vital. It doesn't matter if my brother, myself, my nephew, the spouses, my kids disagree when my parents ultimately pass. It's already in place. We go to court, should that day come, we'll lose because my parents knew what they want. They know what they want. They're still alive. They know what they want. It's in place. This is what I wish for all of my clients. Take that step and make that call. Thank you for tuning in. That's the end of our show this week. God bless. Have a wonderful holiday with your loved ones. Give us a call, 724-784-0239. Until next week, have a good one. Bye-bye.